there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master with Bill the Producer, also Jimmy the Bubble Boy in the studio with us today. Are you guys ready?
Oh, yeah.
We got a lot of stuff to cover today, and some pretty cool guests coming up. I haven't checked in with our buddy Jimmy Abernathy from West Palm Beach. He has a new project going on that involves sharks and soldiers. We're going to get into that a little bit later on. Also, Pete from Scuba Board has been doing some side mount diving. Now, if you're not familiar with side mount diving, that's basically, you know, you have your air tank on your back. Well, side mount is obviously they have the tanks on the side. It's a new style, or relatively new style, of diving that's becoming more and more popular in the technical diving community.
Is that side saddle, Greg?
It could be. We'll find out. And Pete from Scuba Board will tell us about that. Also, Big Wave Dave and a few other folks. You know, and sure enough, I have been cleared for diving after a three-week hiatus. And I got a report already that the lobsters are all gone. So, you know, while I was forced to be dry for a week or two, of course, they started walking after Hurricane Isaac in, here in Florida. And then, of course, my dive buddies down there, Barry from South Florida, he went down to diving this week. And, of course, he went down there and he said, well, we limited out last week, as we talked about on the radio. However, this week, it hasn't been as fruitful when it comes to lobster. They have heard that the lobster slayer has been cleared for action and have taken to their bunkers accordingly.
You need another hurricane, Greg.
Maybe, or something. I don't know. Or just a really good lobster spot. We'll find out. But we got a lot to cover. You know, last week, one of the big topics of the show was this dolphin in the Cayman Islands named Stinky, who is evidently having his way with divers.
You saw that,
Jimmy? there's a video out there on the website where this dolphin is coming in and becoming slightly aroused. And it's pretty evident from the YouTube video. If you just Google Stinky the Dolphin in the Cayman Islands, it'll pop up literally right there for you. And you can follow along with the rest of the class. But it created quite a stir because, I don't know, is this a threat to divers? Is this something we have to worry about, being molested by a diver? Or is this something you would prefer to, you know, to search out? I guess if you're kinky that way, maybe.
You got to take it where you can get it, Greg.
Okay. But I don't know. I'm thinking this is much to do about nothing, but it is creating quite a conversation online. So if you have any comments on that, feel free to do so at 888-88-SCUBA, or you can email us info@scubaradio.com. But as we move on from that, or, you know, if you have any other marine animals that are doing crazy things like that that we need to avoid, hey, we're here to inform the world. And so you can react or protect yourself accordingly. You'd think a wetsuit would be enough, but I don't know. We'll have to wait on that one. But there's an event coming up in, let's see, October, right after our Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise in the Turks and Caicos. Discover Diving Scuba Center in Beaumont, North Carolina, is doing an event to that's going to benefit Dan, and well, we'll get some more details on it in just a bit. But I got this press release from those folks up there, and you know, they asked for some Scuba Radio goodies for their event. They're going to have a little treasure hunt off of this dive site that they go to called Radio Island, off of Beaumont, North Carolina. Now we have David Osborne from the dive shop Discover Diving on Scuba Radio right now. David, welcome to Scuba Radio.
Welcome, Greg. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Now, Radio Island, you know, that caught my eye because I'm thinking, wait a minute, there's a Radio Island dive site and we are Scuba Radio. There could be a tie-in here. I don't know. But first of all, tell me about Radio Island off the coast of what? Beaumont, North Carolina? Is it right there where the dive shop is or what?
Well, it's about a mile from the dive shop, and the dive shop's in Beaufort, North Carolina.
Beaufort, okay. What am I? Yeah. Yeah, what do I know? All right, so Beaufort, North Carolina. So,
Radio Island's one of the local beach dives, and it's actually a spoils island that was dredged up from the local port, and during World War II, it was used as a radio base.
Oh, I see. Okay, so it was a radio transmitter was set up there for the. For the Navy or whatever, the armed forces, and
still a small naval landing base there.
So. Oh, okay, all right, and it's just literally right off the coast, so you can swim to this site from the beach area there, or that you guys go, or what?
Oh, you can drive there.
You can drive to it. Oh, okay.
Yeah, right across the island.
Okay, well, I guess so. If there's a radio transmitter, it must be accessible some way. So you actually go onto the island, and then you can. There's like, what, a reef or rubble area around it, or what? What do you have to see around this place?
Well, the best dive site on Radio Island is the rock jetty down at the end of the island.
Okay.
The rock jetty's probably about 1,000 feet long. It's 5 feet at the surface, down about 30 feet.
All right.
It's actually a really cool little place to dive. It's where we actually do all of our scuba training.
Nice.
You're going to see a lot of soft corals, lots of different fish, anything from sea bass to flounders to butterfly fish. A lot of people are astounded to see a lot of the same types of fish that you see in the Caribbean up here and in shore at Radio Island.
Wow, interesting. So do you have to hit it at a special time because of tides and things like that and visibility issues or what?
Well, you do have to hit it at certain times. You've got to hit it at high slack tide or low slack tide. And
Right. Generally,
you're going to want to do it at high slack tide because that's going to be your better visibility out there.
Got it.
Today, they had about 8 foot of vis when we were doing some training dives out there.
Right.
I personally did a night dive out there last night, and we have probably 10 to 12 foot of vis.
Okay. Well.
And nice warm water, too.
Nice warm water, and, you know, for training purposes, that would be ideal. When you say 10 foot of visibility, you know, we're in Florida. I'm kind of like, well, okay, that's probably not as good a vis as I would like, but hey, that's enough visibility to see whatever you need to see, right?
It's pretty good visibility for shore diving around here. You get offshore, Greg, you're going to find the 100, 120 foot of vis. I'd say our average vis on the offshore wrecks runs anywhere from 60 to 100 feet, usually.
Okay, well, that sounds quite nice. But, okay, so is there a radio station there now? What is on Radio Island there, David?
Well, Radio Island now consists of, as I said, a small naval landing base.
Yeah.
An abandoned building where the radio transmitters used to be.
Yeah.
And a couple of condo complexes.
Interesting. Okay, so we could just take over Radio Island and recall it, call it Scuba Radio Island. We could do this. We could just, mount an offensive type of thing. We could do this, couldn't we, David?
We're good at being offensive, David.
Divers that would help you out.
You would. Okay, so that's all we have to do is round up some of the divers here from Discover Diving there in Beaufort, North Carolina. And we will take over Radio Island, rename it Scuba Radio Island, and just make this our own little place. We've already occupied it. In there, don't we, maybe squatter's rights or something like that? Maybe that would apply? I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's worth a shot.
It's worth a shot. Fair enough. Okay, so this event coming up in October.
October 20th.
October 20th. You can go to discoverdiving.com. It benefits Divers Alert Network, and I think there's a cancer effort, or Hope Children's Cancer. That's, I assume, a local event, or a hospital there, maybe?
Well, Greg, this is Discovery Diving Company's 33rd annual treasure hunt.
Okay.
And it benefits Divers Alert Network, which
right.
is near and dear to every diver's heart.
Absolutely.
And the Children's Mile of Hope Cancer Fund, which is a local cancer charity, which has grown to some pretty big stuff around here.
Okay, excellent. All right, so you can go there and participate in this treasure hunt, which what you have oysters in the area? Is that what it is? And then you mark them, and that's how that you find the oysters and then put it up to a leaderboard with prizes and things like that? Is that how you're setting this up or what?
Very close. What we've been doing is we'll take oysters, we'll paint them brightly colors, and we'll number them. We'll throw them out over at Radio Island Rock Jetty generally. You go down, you get to collect two oysters.
Collect two oysters off of Scuba Radio Island, and then you you exchange
them
for big prize. Well, okay, maybe you can do that too. Excellent. DiscoverDiving.com.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry. And at an affordable price, go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
Hello?
Hey, Rach, it's me.
Okay, I just got to Chandler's room, and I caught him molesting himself.
That couldn't have been pretty.
But you know, guys do that.
Yeah?
Well, the weird part is, he was getting off to a shark attack show.
No.
Yes, Chandler watches shark porn. I always knew there was something weird about that dude. You promise to love him no matter what. What means, like, if he gets a disease or kills someone. Not if he gets his jollies to Jaws.
Oh.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Bill the Producer, Jimmy the Bubble Boy. We are here and ready to talk diving, and we're going to check in with Jimmy Abernathy a little bit later on. He is doing something with Sharks and Soldiers, which is a really cool little project he has in the works, and he's going to shed some light on that in a little bit. But, you know, and it is it's like a TV project kind of thing that's in the works here. Now, you know, when it comes to TV shows, you know, there's a few diving things. You know, one of the shows that has caught my eye here recently is on Discovery Channel. It's just wrapping up, I think, their first season. Maybe it's their first season. But this Bering Sea Gold on the Discovery Channel. Have you seen this, Jimmy?
No, I have not, but I'd like to.
So they're ice diving in the Bering Sea and dredging for gold. Have you seen this, Bill? What about you? Have you seen that show on the Discovery Channel?
No.
These guys, they cut a big hole in the ice, and they dredge. They set up a dredging operation on the ice and send a diver down in like a OTS comm mask, which you know we have those and stuff, where you can talk to each other on the surface.
Yeah,
and
that'd
the
be
diver
great.
Goes down.
That'd be great radio. We'd hear a guy saying, "Damn, it's cold! Damn, it's cold! Damn, it's cold!"
Well, they have these.
Damn, it's cold!
They have these water-filled suits, and they
urine-filled.
They pump. Well, maybe they pump the warm water into the suits to keep the divers warm. Now, there's this old classic story that I've heard that we haven't mentioned in a long time, but there's
octopus,
this
squid.
Jellyfish.
Jellyfish.
There's a rumor, yeah, there's a old classic story where somebody was using a water-filled suit, and the water that they filled it with, accidentally, they had pumped a jellyfish in there. You can imagine the havoc that created. However, this is an interesting show. It's not really a dive show. They're you know, mining for gold. They're dredging for gold in the Bering Sea. But they are using these...
commercial
dive suits.
This show has no bearing on Scuba Radio.
Stop it, Bill.
No, it does, because, I mean, they don't talk about the diving aspects of it so much, but they do, you know, it's diving. And, you know, you can't feel the cold by watching it on TV, because they say, the water's like 27 degrees or some crazy, and, like, you can maybe survive, you know, a minute or something if the warm water... shuts down, and they've had several instances where they've had issues with the divers, and you know they do this on the show. I find it quite fascinating, and I love the idea of being able to find gold. And I just wonder, that desire to find gold, is that enough to get me over this whole cold water issue?
This is not a cold water issue. This is a diving in ice issue.
Yeah, but you're surrounded by warm water or urine. And so you're warm enough, I would guess, you know?
Greg, if you go and do this, I promise I won't put any chocolate pudding mix in your suit.
Hmm. Well, you know, you have your support, surface support crew.
There you go.
And Jimmy the Bubble Boy just basically said, basically made it where he won't be one of those. So, but I don't know. Yeah, what I watch on that show... It's the first time where I thought, hey, that might be a big enough draw for me to actually want to try this, to kind of mark it off, to actually go find some gold. That would be pretty cool. That would be an awesome experience to do it. And it looks like some serious work underwater. This is a working environment, but it looks pretty cool from the video that they get under the sheet of ice. And they got this big pipe there, you know, sucking rocks and gravel and sand, and then it pumps up out of there, and they run it over these, cleaning cloths or whatever that separates the dust, the particles from the gold. And then ideally, you know, they come away and they...
This is riveting.
You don't like this idea?
No.
What if you found a big nugget of gold doing that? Wouldn't that be to me, it's kind of like going to dive for shark teeth. You know,
except you're not actually doing any of the looking. You're operating. It's like vacuum cleaning underwater it's like.
Well, you watch what's
vacuum
being sucked up.
Vacuum cleaning in freezing cold water.
But you watch what's being sucked up, and they say, ooh, that looks good. That's good. Oh, we got some gold right here. You know, you hear them talking because they're talking underwater. And
they talk like that, Greg?
You can see, yeah.
Well, like oh, they're Cajuns.
That's how I would talk.
The Cajuns.
Yeah. But
from red wine.
Barry, our South Florida super fan, is dialed up 888-88-SCUBA. Barry, you've seen this show, surely, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like
yes,
it?
Yes, I have, and don't call me Shirley.
Okay, fair enough. But surely you
James
like this.
James and I on that one. Both James and I were ready for the don't call me Shirley.
Yeah, that was coming.
Dang it.
But what do you think? Do you like that show or no?
I like the show, but there's no way. I mean... And I know you won't do it because of the two things that you hate doing, diving in cold water and working.
Okay, you got me. I am a warm water wuss. But gold, the power of gold, that's a pretty big motivational factor there. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Yeah, but, you know, poor Bill has not been on a trip in how long? I think you should send him.
Well, he doesn't seem very enthralled by this idea. I don't know, Bill. Would you do it?
No.
Why?
Because it's vacuum cleaning and freezing cold water. It is completely outside of the realm of anything I'm interested in doing.
But what if you got like $10,000 worth of gold by doing that after a couple days? I mean, you know, it depends. They got to be on the gold.
Or maybe I get no gold.
And get really cold.
Yes.
But it's
how good's the gumbo?
It's about the journey, right? Isn't it about the journey? And then you got the whole benefit of being on the Bering Sea. Where the hell is that, anyway?
Alaska.
Yeah, so you go to Alaska. We stop off, we say hi to Sarah Palin.
Would they
we
be
wave
ball
to
bearings?
Alaska. Then we dive for gold. How much more fun could that be?
It's all ball bearings these days.
Working a little skiing, I don't know. But yeah.
You could visit Russia.
All right, so Bill's out. Jimmy, no?
I'll go as long as Bill promises not to drop little tiny Legos into my suit.
Okay, all right. What about you?
Seems like a fair offer.
Barry, would you do it? Is there enough enticement for you to do this?
It is, as long as I know that the warm water that's going in there didn't come from you guys.
There's not enough gold in China.
Well, that's what the surface crew is there to provide. Warm water, a.k.a. not bodily fluids, right? And well, maybe in our case, yeah, it probably would be.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
All right, Barry is on the line with us. So enough of this cold water diving stuff. This ice diving stuff, I thought I finally found a motivating factor. Gold. That's all I needed was gold. Invest in gold. I'm, you know, but it wasn't enough to get anybody to support me enough. So let's just move back to the lobster. Because, Barry, you're my my man, you know, not on the street. What is our man? In the water.
In the water.
In South Florida, looking for the lobster. And you're the one who told me that, yes, now that I've been cleared for diving again, the lobsters have taken refuge. And the cracks and crevices off the coast of Florida and are now hard to find. Is that true?
It's true. We're going to have to go into deeper water. We're going to have to go on Jeff's boat out into deeper water because apparently was a slaughter that weekend that we were there. As a matter of fact, it was in the newspaper. They brought it up about the lobster walk. So now, last Sunday, I only caught three.
Yeah.
It was beautiful dive. Flat water, visibility, you know, 100 feet and 86 degrees, none of this 28. But all the bugs were gone. It was a massacre out there.
Mm. So it was you did another beach dive. Is that what it was?
Yeah, we went back to the same place just to see if there are any remnants. We got a few. And we saw a couple of females with eggs, believe it or not, this time of year. So at least they're still reproducing. But
right.
That was it. You know, if we want big ones, we're going to have to go out on the boat.
Okay. So you think that because there's been like a lobster massacre when they started walking and the divers got in there and took them out, you don't think it's because word has gotten around amongst the lobster community that I have been cleared for diving? And that the lobster slayer is back in action, and they've hunkered down. You think that could be part of it?
I mean, there could be. You know, there may be a wanted poster out there. You know, they make these waterproof posters now, and they send them down there, and they kind of look at you and say, "Let's stay away from this guy because we may laugh to death."
Okay, I don't remember seeing the last part of that, but the signs are possible. Those lobsters, they're smart little critters. They could get you. You gotta keep your eye on them bugs. All right, we got a Dan tip next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio, Divers Consumer Tip number 248. When your wife asks the inevitable, "Does the wetsuit make me look fat?" question.
Of course it makes you look fat.
An acceptable diver's reply is, "No, it's not the wetsuit."
Oh, come on.
And...
you haven't even tried donuts yet.
Remember to budget for an additional surcharge when traveling as a single on your next dive trip somewhere.
You want to store fat? That is the way to store some fat.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the Real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And in the studio is Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. How you doing, Nick?
Hey, I'm feeling great, Greg.
You look it. The very picture of health.
Not a bad thing for a doctor to be.
Funny, but it does remind me of a question I wanted to ask you.
And what's that?
We've talked about dive fitness, but what about being physically ready for a dive? Do you mind talking about that?
Of course not. Where would you like to start?
Well, aside from encouraging people to incorporate a fitness regimen into their daily life.
Always a fan of that plan.
I thought you would like that. But let's talk about what divers can do in the days prior to a dive to ensure they're ready.
That's a really good topic. I know a lot of times divers get so focused on taking care of their dive gear or dive planning, they tend to put taking care of themselves at the bottom of the list.
So where do you start?
Start with getting plenty of sleep. Sleep deprivation does a lot of things to a person that aren't good. It diminishes our energy levels and can impair judgment. It can also decrease our strength and stamina. All of these things are important on a dive. So make sure you get plenty of sleep in the nights leading up to a dive, especially the night before.
I'll never argue with getting more sleep. Now, what else can we do?
Drink more.
All right. Doctor telling me to drink more.
Water.
Yeah, right. Okay, I knew it was too good to be true. Can I just drink some on the way to the dive site, though?
If only it were that easy. Hydration is a key contributor to staying healthy while diving, but it doesn't happen overnight. If you don't already do so as a regular part of your day, start hydrating several days prior to a dive. Try to keep caffeinated and alcoholic beverages to a minimum, as they tend to dehydrate us, which is obviously not the goal.
Can I at least eat more?
Definitely, but make sure you go quality over quantity. Food provides the fuel we burn, so absolutely eat something before you dive. If you're headed out on the boat, you may not want a greasy breakfast, but then again, do whatever works for you.
What else can we do?
Remember that mental fitness is as important as physical fitness. Be comfortable with the dive you're doing and stay within those comfort limits.
Is there anything that combines mental and physical?
Sure. We spend a lot of time educating divers on recognizing potential problems after a dive, but we sometimes forget to remind them to be aware of their starting status. When you wake up in the morning of a dive, especially the first one you'll do, take a minute to do a self-check. How are you feeling? Are you feeling good? Be aware of any aches and pains you might already be experiencing, and give yourself a baseline to work off of after the dive. Of course, if you're ever in doubt about your post-dive health, call someone. But no matter what, being really aware of how you feel before a dive can really be a good thing.
You're right. We do have a tendency to forget to check in with ourselves before a dive, don't we?
We do. And we can put ourselves through a lot of angst later because of it.
Okay. There is one more point that has to be a beneficial factor in being ready to dive. I joke about it and give you a hard time, but what about that fitness regimen?
It's kind of a no-brainer that a fitness regimen is good for you for a lot of reasons. And the benefits definitely extend to diving. I know we've talked about this extensively in other tips, but overall fitness can benefit you on the cardiovascular, circulatory, and muscular level. And all of those physical elements play into your health when diving. So yes, a daily fitness regimen can and should be considered a positive way to prepare yourself to dive.
Planning your dive and prepping your gear are key aspects to dive preparation. But don't forget to take care of you, too. Get plenty of rest, drink lots of fluids, and make sure you're mentally ready to go. The dive can't go on without you, so be sure to give yourself as much prep time and consideration as you do everything else. Do that, and you're guaranteed Dan Good Diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
Big Wave Dave is on the road once again with the Be a Diver pool, and he is on Scuba Radio right now. Dave, where are you today, buddy?
Well, I'm actually not quite in the road yet. In the backyard, cutting some wood up for the fall.
He's cutting wood.
That's a euphemism.
That's exactly for... no, we can't say.
Wood to burn.
He's got wood to burn, baby.
Yes. All right, so he's fueling up. He's trying to stay warm so he can warm, set up a fire to... you're getting ready to do some ice diving for a Bering Sea Gold, right?
Well, maybe, yeah. No, this is, today was wood for the bonfire in the backyard, but no.
Okay.
Actually getting ready to leave town tomorrow, head out to Norwalk, Connecticut for the Norwalk Boat Show.
Okay, fair enough. Now, you know, we were talking about this TV show, Bering Sea Gold, on the Discovery Channel, and they're doing ice diving for gold. Have you ever thought about going to a place like Connecticut? It's too warm there now, but maybe in the winter months, when you go to one of these places like Chicago in winter or whatever, how about we freeze the Be a Diver pool and turn it into an ice diving site? Have you ever considered such nonsense?
No.
Okay.
I do plenty of ice diving, being that I live in Wisconsin, so I can do the ice diving as much as I want.
Do you do that? Have you ever done that?
Yes, I do. Yes, I've taught that before. Yes, it's a great ice diving here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, but have you ever dredged for gold? Maybe you ought to be looking for gold under there.
I don't think our quarry's got too much gold, but you may find some other stuff. You never know.
Yeah, like what? Bones
like,
from...
watchers and fishing lures, maybe.
Okay, all right.
People jump off and dive off the cliffs. I found money underwater.
Yeah.
Rings.
Okay, so a little bit of everything. Maybe a dive cache or two.
That's right. Well, there's some of those out here right now. Hopefully, actually, this I got an email from somebody. They were going out looking for one this weekend.
Yeah? What do you have to do? You're in Wisconsin. I might as well ask you about this. What do you have to do to do an ice dive? What makes a difference other than all the, obviously, the cold water and cutting a hole in the ice on the lake? I guess you have to do that. You got to create your own entry and exit point, right?
Correct. Well, you have to cut the hole, but of course you need a lot of safety equipment. You need lines for each buddy to the surface. You need surface tenders because, you know, even though most regulars nowadays are very good in cold water, you could still have a freeze-up. And, you know, with only one exit point, you want to be able to get to it fast. So you use lines so in case divers above need to haul you back, they can haul you right back in.
Right. Okay. And so...
I mean, there's definitely more equipment intensive, watching how you use your equipment ahead of time. And a lot of people will set up tents right in the ice, put heaters in them. So before you go under, it's nice and toasty.
All right. But you can use one of these suits where they pump warm water in if you want to go industrial, right? But you don't do that. That's for warm water wusses.
I know, like, DUI's got an electric heated underwear coming out this winter.
Okay. We had the heated wetsuits. I've used those under my wetsuit. I guess I could do that, too. But have you ever done that thing where... I guess that's a commercial diving technique that they're using on that TV show where they pump the warm water in as a constant flow kind of thing, right? That's a commercial diving aspect.
Yeah, I mean, most people out there just fun ice diving aren't pumping the hot water down. But keep in mind, for instance, a lot of times here, the quarries that we dive in, down at 80 to 100 feet, the water is like 38 degrees year-round. So, it really doesn't matter if it's summer or winter, it's still cold. So the biggest thing is more of the preparation of getting in and out and the safety while ice diving.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, you know, it sounds good on one sense when you're not cold. You know, when you're just watching it, it looks a bit, especially when, you know, they're going for gold. I'm thinking I need some kind of extra motivation to get me to do some of this ice diving. But getting back to the Be a Diver pool, you're going to Norwalk, Connecticut next week. There's no ice diving. It's nice and warm. You go to the boat show. People can jump in there and try diving for a little bit, right?
That's right. We'll be set up this weekend. We got three great dive stores helping out in the Norwalk area. It's going to be a fantastic weekend. We've done this show probably three or four times, different times over the years, and typically tends to be really nice weather.
Yeah, and that's actually a really good boat show. I mean, they feature a lot of sailing there too, right? Or am I getting
Correct.
That mixed
yeah,
up?
I mean,
yeah.
That whole Connecticut Sound up there has got some very good sailing, good diving. I mean, can be limited visibility, but they're still diving there. And, of course, right after Norwalk, I'm just going to be right across the road from you the next weekend down at the Tampa Boat Show.
That's right. So, yeah, who knows? We might have to sync up over there. I'm actually supposed to set up a dive off the West Coast. Here, we're out of Orlando, Florida, and I have never dove in the Gulf from the coast, like Tampa, St. Pete area. You got to go a ways offshore because it's a low, gradual drop off, and you got to go like 10, 20 miles offshore to get to like a ledge or a wreck or something, supposedly. And because
there's lots of really good spearfishing out there.
Yeah, exactly. You got spearfishing. It might be my next lobster run.
Out with Reef Diver?
I mean, maybe we could. Yeah, we could call
maybe
her.
Maybe just fly out and jump from your plane, your spotter plane on the whale shark.
That's my idea. BeADiver.com. Go there, try diving, and catch up with Big Wave Dave.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Meet me in the Lullaby. It's a long, long way from the Okaloosa here.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Bill the Producer, Jimmy the Bubble Boy. We are here today talking diving as usual. And, we are based in Orlando, Florida. And it is remarkable, even when I say it out loud, that I have not really dived off the coast of, west coast of Florida.
In the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
Well,
and I will say, technically I have, but I don't really count my Venice Beach dive for shark teeth.
Okay.
Now, we were about a half mile offshore off the beach.
How deep was it?
12, 15 feet. So, I mean, it was a dive.
Right,
but it really wasn't a dive.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go down there and you're basically looking along the bottom of the ocean, through rubble, trying to find shark teeth. Now, that's a fun dive. And
right.
In a way, that's kind of my version of searching for Bering Sea gold with all the headaches.
Well, I think it's a lot more fun than searching for Bering Sea gold. I would argue. I would say that if you're actually looking for something in the water,
yeah,
that's more exciting than operating a vacuum cleaner with somebody else's pee washing over your body.
Well, I don't know about the second part of your statement.
You think it would be more fun to be having somebody else's pee washing over your body? I'm confused. Which side of this argument are you on?
I'm in the anti-golden shower-ish part of it. But,
good to see you taking a firm stand.
Yeah. But the thing is, though, I mean, it's gold. I mean, the payoff is huge. Now, I guess you could say if you're doing Venice Beach and you find a big megalodon shark tooth, those things worth a lot of money. Now, the ones I found, I wouldn't say, you know, they're, you know, maybe I got a $30, $40 one. I didn't find one of the big monster ones.
Okay.
And I don't know if those are, you know, very rare to find a huge, perfect specimen there. So I guess you could find it. But gold is gold. I mean, look at all the TV commercials. I mean, that's a thing. I mean, that's where you're supposed to invest all your money, according to the TV right now, is buy gold.
You watch too much Fox News.
And somebody has to get this. And
canned goods and shotguns.
But
buy gold.
I think that, you know, I have wanted to go off the coast of, you know, Tampa, Sarasota, that area for some time. And every time I've checked into it, the only problem is you got a really long boat ride. And I hate boat rides when I don't really have to do them on the other side of the Florida coast. I mean, you go down to West Palm Beach, Fort Lauderdale, obviously the Keys, you're a mile or two offshore, and you got a short boat ride. You're in the water. You're maximizing your bottom time and that kind of thing. You know, you got on the West Coast. And there's probably sites that are closer, too, that I'm not aware of. And maybe that's what I need to check in with, or maybe that's where Reef Diver can help us out. You think, Bill?
I think she can. She does a lot of diving over there. She does a lot of diving around Florida, but I mean that is her
stomping ground.
Yeah, her stomping grounds, her backyard,
her dive sites,
the Gulf of Mexico,
whale sharks, and God knows what else.
Scallops.
She's seen over there. Scallops. Now I've done the scallop thing.
See?
But that was North Florida.
You're there all the time.
But no, that was North Florida. That was up like Crystal River area.
But
that
in the
count.
Gulf of Mexico.
Well, yeah, but once again, you know,
you've also dove the Gulf of Mexico on those oil rigs.
Well,
but
yeah,
not
that's
off
true.
Of Florida. But really, right. Since you have to go so frickin' far anyway to find real diving,
yeah.
Now Alabama the oil may rigs, as well be Florida.
Now I ought to go back to the oil rigs. That would be an awesome place. And then you got the flower gardens. You got the middle grounds off the. You know, when you go far offshore, that's a very popular place for spear fishing. And things like that. And I'm not a big spear fisherman, so that's why, you know, I don't do that too much. It's the same thing with the oil rigs. When we went to the oil rigs, that was like my first big spear fishing expedition that I went on. And I didn't have very good luck with that.
You didn't catch any spears?
Tink! Brick! Yeah, no, I did not. I did not do any. And we had a long boat ride, and I got sick as could be.
So really, you're looking forward to going back, is what you're saying.
Well, when we actually got out there and I got over the dry heaves and got in the water.
Well, that's
then,
an issue for a lot of divers, really.
Yeah.
There are a lot of divers that have a problem with, you know, being on the little boats.
Right.
Not
me. I needed a bigger boat and smaller seas.
But you don't have a problem flying.
No, I mean, flying so far, I haven't had any problem
with that at all. That's
interesting. I think, you know, when you're learning to fly, too, you're driving. It's kind of like the driver right. of the boat doesn't get sick, the flyer, the you know, car sick, that kind of thing. It might be some of that to it, but I don't fly in rough weather. I mean, I'm doing VFR flying, visual flight rules, and I can't even fly into a cloud. If I see a cloud, it's like, oh my God, turn! It's a cloud. No, you can't fly. Oh my God, it's like, wait.
Send in
the
clouds.
So no clouds usually. Translates into weather.
Flight 19's in there waiting for you, Greg.
Though, if you have like no clouds in the sky, that you could have turbulence, believe it or not.
I believe you.
Yeah. So,
I've experienced that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I haven't had any problems with that. I will say I did get out of the plane once, and I kind of staggered out of it. But that was after we were going up and down and twisting around, doing a bunch of maneuvers and, you know, things like that.
Were they orchestral?
Barrel rolls.
Was it dark?
No, it was just we're doing all these maneuvers. But, I mean, I mean, when you're flying, it's very similar to being on a boat because, it's the waves, the bumps and everything, identical. So there's a lot of comparisons.
Except you can't. You can't see the air.
Exactly.
You can see the
water.
You can get a feel for when the next wave is coming on a small boat,
true.
But you can't tell in a plane.
This is true.
You're all of a sudden just spinning out of control.
I need
flat spin.
I need a seaplane. That's
goose,
what I need.
Goose, jump, goose.
I need a seaplane.
Shields.
And then I can just fly out there to the Gulf, land on some lobsters, snag them. Yeah, do a little spear fish. Yeah, just hang out and see all the critters. So that'll be on the agenda. All right, coming up in hour two, Pete from Scuba Board. Lionfish, good or bad? We're going to find out. We're going to discuss that in hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Don't go anywhere.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio.